as my son's got older, it's almost easier to recognize when an attack is starting. And that's because he sees it coming himself. He'll tell you that he's struggling a little bit. And so you go into a routine of, have you done your inhalers? When he's having an attack, you can take up to 10 puffs of a blue Ventolin inhaler. If that doesn't have any effect on him, from experience, you know, either put him in the car, get him down to A&E. If it's really quite a worrying one, if it's quite bad, we phoned ambulances before and he's been taken into hospital in an ambulance with blue lights on. So it is almost easier as he gets older, but no less worrying, obviously. Going back to when he was quite young, you almost see patterns in his behaviour when he was struggling with his asthma. He used to display some signs or make noises almost that we would think, hang on a minute, he's struggling a little bit. He used to try and draw breath in, and it almost hold his breath once it was in, and then he'd expel it, and it made almost a grunting noise. So you'd see that, you'd hear that, and you'd sort of look at him, and he'd be a little bit concerned, a little bit worried. When he was younger, he didn't sort of realise that he could be struggling a little bit. He didn't make the connection as such, but as he's got older, he stopped making the noise that he used to make, but he recognised it coming on, so he'd actually say, I need my inhaler. When my son was having an attack, the hardest thing to do was stay calm. If he saw that we were getting a little bit flustered or concerned, that would have an effect on him. So I think if someone is in that position, is having an attack, remain calm. Worst thing you can do is get upset yourself, because they're just going to pick up on that. So when he was having an attack, you just literally sit with him, talk to him, make sure he's got his inhaler, make sure he's got anything that might make him comfortable. He used to have a teddy bear. He'd just like to hold the teddy bear when he was younger. So just making a pleasant as possible environment for him. I think the point when you realise that you are going to need proper medical assistance, when he was young, you'd do 10 shots of the Ventolin. If you saw that's not going to work, you'd literally immediately decide, right, he needs to go. He needs to be in an ambulance, or we need to rush him down to the hospital. We've been aware of a 111 service that we can phone to get advice, work out next steps. But from experience, you basically know that the symptoms that your child's displaying, 111 service isn't always going to be of a great benefit to you. It might help the first couple of times it happens, because you're not going to want to bother the ambulance service. But after a while, after getting to know your child's symptoms, you phone 999, and I've done that a good couple of times. He has been rushed into hospital in an ambulance and straight into critical care a good few, 3 or 4 times probably. Time periods when your child is having an attack, they can vary, because the severity of an attack is evident sometimes. Sometimes it's not. Once he's not massively responsive to the Ventolin, you know pretty much straight away he's going to need to go in. He's going to have to be ambulanced in into hospital and get the nebulizers. From a parent's perspective, it can be a scary, scary experience. And maybe the first couple of times it happens, you're not entirely sure what it is. You may not even know the severity, possible outcomes, what they can be. The more you live with it as a parent, and obviously the child living with it, you know it can be severe. You know that they can get into quite a lot of trouble pretty quickly. So if you recognise the signs, if you know the signs from experience, I wouldn't hesitate to phone 999. From a child's experience, the first time it happens, it's going to be scary, and they're not going to know what's going on. But also, the more they have it, I think when they have an attack, they know that the consequences can be quite bad. So last time my son had an attack, he was on the verge of panic. He knew that he could potentially stop breathing. But by that stage, luckily, we were at the hospital. He was being nebulized. He was being given medication. but you could still see he was scared. He was petrified, actually. I've got experiences of being in critical care with my son. And I've got to say, with the hospital that we've been to, been two different hospitals, actually, and they've both been absolutely brilliant with him. Professional care all the way through, really. The things the staff do can be really helpful from a parent's perspective, because they tell you what's happening. They keep you calm. They talk to the child. As a child gets older, if they're able to be talked to and explained to, they will do. They can instill a lot of confidence. Some have struggled to remain calm at times, but if they've called someone, I'm guessing a senior, they've immediately instilled a bit of confidence, telling us what they've given him, what the effect could be, basically saying, calm down, everything's going to be okay. And you get to a stage where you look at the monitor as well, you see the saturated oxygen, and when you see a certain number, you think, blimey, that's a bit low. But they'll say, don't worry, then you will see the saturated oxygen level creeping up, and then what they've told you is basically right. I have a bit of faith in them, and hopefully the outcome is going to be a good outcome. Communication is vital, really, because with an asthma attack, there's a lot of fear on both sides. There's a fear in a child, there's a fear in a parent, and as long as you get clear communication from your healthcare professional, it can put you at ease. It can put the child at ease, and that it really is key. If they can communicate clearly, concisely, accurately, you do feel a lot better about the care that your child's getting.